TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. It's Raised by Wolves.
Hour number two of Raised by Wolves, Danny Cunningham and Dane Moore here on Score North, taking you up until 3 o'clock. We're talking about some of the favorite things that we've had, or the most interesting things that
the
we've
favorite
had.
Favorite things.
Favorite things, most interesting. I don't know. I have loved free agency. It has. It's been a very long week. It feels like a Saturday today. It's Thursday. I thought it was Friday when I woke up. It's been a long week. It's going to get longer. You're leaving for Las Vegas tonight for the NBA Summer League.
Yeah.
I'm heading out to Vegas on Sunday for the NBA Summer League. So it's going to be an even longer week. Like, it's never going to end. But then once it does end, it's finally like summer break.
Yeah.
I think when I get back from Vegas, I'm going to feel like a little kid getting out of school. Like, it's finally going to be my turn for summer. I'm finally going to get to relax.
And that's right when the Timberwolves will trade Andrew Wiggins.
Could you imagine that? I think the thing that would upset me the most is if a trade like that, because I'm going to take vacation time during the summer. I'm going to get away from basketball. I'm going to get away from Minnesota a couple times. If it happens during that, I'm going to be like, you've got to be kidding me. This is just worst case scenario.
Don't rule it out. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. Yes, you're exactly right. All right, my number one most interesting free agent signing is Al Horford signing in Philadelphia. We said that before the break. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. I think that they're going to look a little bit different, obviously, because they've got Al Horford now instead of Jimmy Butler. They've got Josh Richardson in that starting lineup instead of J.J. Redick now. They're going to look like a much different team, but we saw a very good defensive team from them at times last year, and we're going to see a better defensive team. Like, Tobias Harris is not a good defender. He's probably slightly below average, I would think we would call him defensively. Not great. And he's their worst one. They're going to be unbelievably big on their front in their starting lineup. I think that Al Horford's going to be able to help Joel Embiid a ton.
I mean, for everything Redick does well, defense is not it. I mean, you replace that. And I think people are thinking about the starting five for Philly, which is great, but they got good defenders coming off the bench too.
Yeah.
And Matisse Thybulle, who they just drafted, Zaire Smith, they brought back Mike Scott, like James Ennis, a lot of guys you can get away with, particularly defensively, like the kind of classic 3-and-D guys. So if you hope, two of those four guys are legitimate 3-and-D players, that is going to insulate that. It's a great starting five. I mean, Embiid, Horford, Harris, Richardson, Simmons, like, that's so long.
Yeah, it's unbelievable what they could do on that end of the floor. They could just absolutely shut teams down. And I think that Al Horford's going to allow Joel Embiid to probably play less games than he did last year, which I think is something that's going to help him. Philadelphia overworked him in the first half of the season. He played too much. They kind of wanted to come out and prove that, Joel Embiid's healthy. He can play every night. He can play all these back-to-backs. He can play 35 minutes a night. And it's like, what are you doing? Because it caught up with them in the second half of the season when he couldn't play after the All-Star break.
Right.
And then he got into the playoffs and he wasn't healthy. I think that having Al Horford's going to change that. That won't be the case for them.
They're a huge coaching is really important team as well, because as talented as that starting five is, it's still weird.
Yeah.
And it's not like the traditional way of using it. Like, they're going to have to, they're really going to need to, whether it's, adjusting the rotation. And like last year, they just had really quick rotations. Like Embiid would play like 4 minutes, and then he'd be out for months, and then you're back in. There's going to still be guess and check with this team. And just like it was last year after the Butler and Harris trades, where they're kind of figuring it out. At least they have 82 games now to be able to figure it out. And I have some confidence in that. I have confidence in them being a really good team. But I've started to hear people be like, Philly is the clear-cut favorite out of the East and maybe like the championship favorite. Like, I'm not going that far yet.
I won't go that far. I think that they are a favorite in the East. I don't know.
Who's the favorite in the East? You got to pick right now.
It depends what Kawhi Leonard does.
Okay, sure.
If Kawhi goes back to Toronto, I'm going to say the Raptors.
Yeah,
if Kawhi doesn't, then it changes my answer. It becomes a much fuzzier picture.
Okay, well, I was mostly specifically thinking Philly or Milwaukee.
I would lean Philly. But it's very, I mean, it's razor thin. I'm not like, you can convince me one way or the other, but I do like this Horford signing in part because let's say Kawhi goes to LA. So it is, we're talking, it's a Milwaukee Philly race for that Eastern Conference crown, right? That's what we just assume this year.
Sure.
Philadelphia now probably has the two guys best equipped to defend Giannis, and they're on the same team and they can be on the floor together in Horford and in Embiid. Both of those guys, now, they're not going to hang out on the perimeter a ton. I know Horford can do that at times when his knee's not bothering him. But I think that they are a team that's really equipped to try and slow down Giannis as best possible. And that's going to matter in a seven-game series. We just saw it with Toronto. They're not going to have a Kawhi Leonard because no one is. But they're going to be really good defensively. And that's something that could give Giannis problems. And that matters.
I think a huge question, the shooting is a huge question.
Yes.
With this group. And can you make Al Horford, can you make the bigs dynamic shooters? Mm-hmm. Or can you make them a shooting threat?
Yeah.
And I mean, we know Embiid can shoot it. Hasn't done it at a great rate. Can he improve that? And can you get a good high ball screen action going on between Simmons and Horford? I think specifically, can you work that? I mean, it was very dynamic in Boston, but that was because Kyrie was such a good shot creator.
Correct.
A jump shot creator. And it's different when you're defending that, when you don't need to worry about, when you're defending an Al Horford pop, you don't need to worry about that as much when the point guard isn't going to be shooting off.
Well, because you can go under any screen now. Like, it's not a concern. You don't have to ever fight over an Al Horford screen with Ben Simmons operating, right?
It's totally. And so how are you going to make Al Horford a big shooting option for this team? Because I think they're going to need some of that. And they have Harris, and Richardson has done it at a high rate, but you don't have anybody in that team who can really like go off the dribble and get shots, particularly threes.
Yeah.
Like Harris is a very good shooter. He can do some of that. Like I mean, they're going to lean on his off the bounce game a lot, mm-hmm. but it's the type of shooting that they lack that I'm concerned about. And I would love to see them, you know, find a way to get a spark plug kind of like point guard who maybe doesn't give you a lot defensively, but is able to just go kind of get you buckets and shoot.
Like a Jamal Crawford type guy.
Something like that.
Not Jamal, but like,
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Lou Williams type guy, a Lou Williams light.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, that's the biggest need I see with this team. And I feel like they're probably not done. Like their roster going into next season playoffs is not going to be this.
I also hope that the Horford signing means Embiid has to spend less time out on the perimeter, because I felt at times too often he fell in love with wanting to be a jump shooter and wanting to be out behind the 3-point line. And he is one of the best guys to just go get you a bucket in the low post in the NBA. He's unbelievable at it. He's awesome. And I think that having Al Horford on the floor could make him do that more.
Right. Well, and it's going to be interesting. You can kind of like drop a picture where they go like pretty old school, like two block guys, high, low, like, I mean,
very back old
like
school.
Back like 90s, like, you know, pop up, like Horford pop up to the high post, like threat the 15-foot jump shot, like post speed. I mean, you don't see that very often, but when you just look at that group, you got to think that's a big part of their offense is working double post. And that's, again, weird. It's a weird team.
And having Horford be as good of a passer as he is for a big two is going to help them a lot.
A passer with he shot 50% from mid-range last year. Like that's what makes him such a threat there from the mid-range. That they're going to have to be dynamic from the mid-range, which is, you know, it's a, because I think they will, because I don't see where the shooting's going to come from. You can't just feed Embiid every time.
Yeah, and they are one of my most interesting teams too. So we're just going to transition to that there. We'll talk about, we'll keep going with Philadelphia. I would love to see them add Kyle Korver.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be bought out here by the Phoenix Suns after they acquired him yesterday in a trade from Memphis, after Memphis had acquired him in a trade from Utah.
Sure.
I would love to see Kyle Korver sign back in Philadelphia, where one, his career started, and two, I think that they are more equipped now to hide any defensive limitations that a 38-year-old Kyle Korver would have, that similar to J.J. Redick. Right. And I think that he's going to be able to get easier shots than Redick was, in part because, and we talked about this earlier, his size.
Yeah.
Just how big of a guy he actually is. Like, he's every bit of 6'6", 6'7". I think he'd be a great fit there, and they need the shooting bad.
Absolutely. No, I think that'd be really cool. I wonder what Korver's market's going to be like.
I think he's going to ring chase. And I think I would love to see Kyle Korver win a title.
Totally.
He's been in the league for, he's one of the, him and LeBron are two of the last remnants from the 03 draft class. Kyle Korver doesn't have a ring in the 16 years he's played. I mean, maybe.
He's coming back.
Yeah, he's coming to Minnesota. They need bench buckets.
No, dude, Melo is going to be on the Lakers.
I want the Knicks to sign him and just give him the retirement tour. Give him the retirement tour. Let him play out at the Garden.
Korver could go to the Lakers, too.
I saw, I believe Woj from ESPN said Lakers, Bucks, or Sixers.
He works for ESPN?
Yes, he does. At Woj ESPN on Twitter. I saw Lakers, Bucks, or Sixers. I would love it to be the Sixers for the storylines. I think it's a good basketball fit for them. I think they could hide them defensively. And I would like to see.
And they're a top five most likely team to win the championship.
Yeah. Well, I think all three of those teams probably are top five to win the title. So that's not.
No, I like that idea a lot. I don't know exactly what their cap situation is. I think he could get. I mean, I think for a lot of teams, they would only have the minimum to give him.
Yeah.
Which, you know, guys are doing. I look at like Wes Matthews in Milwaukee, and you saw Dudley go to the Lakers, and we talked about Tolliver before, like ring chasing, you know, or ring chasing a role that could lead them, could also be a ring.
Chasing competitiveness.
Yeah. But like Tolliver, he also knows he has a role there. Like, mm-hmm. I think that when you're like one of those guys, like in your mid 30s, if I can get a role on a team that I feel good about, and I know we have a shot at the championship, like that's thinking. And Korver would have that in Philadelphia.
Well, I mean, wasn't last year the same thing for him? Didn't he assume that when he came to Minnesota and then they made a trade and he didn't have a role anymore until Ryan took over?
He got screwed.
I know. I was talking to somebody yesterday about his situation last year and just how he came and he played okay at the beginning of the season, but once they traded Jimmy Butler, there was no space for him and Tibbs wouldn't budge on that.
I just remember him saying, like, I chose Minnesota, coming back to Minnesota because I liked the working environment I played for under Van Gundy, and I knew I would be, like, that's where I thrived. And I know it's going to be a working environment, very professional under Thibodeau, and, like, it'll be fun, but the focus is on work. And then, sure enough, it was the least professional environment to come into. And
it was a nightmare.
It was a nightmare. And then they take out Butler, who is the nightmare creator, and that ended up bringing in Dario Saric, which pushed Tolliver all the way out of the rotation. I mean, he is a great guy. He just got, and a useful piece.
Yeah.
But then you try to start playing him at small forward and he's getting cooked. It's like, it killed his market, I think. I don't think anybody was giving Anthony Tolliver, like, well, what did you do this year?
Yeah. And I understand that from a team perspective, but I think that's a really good signing for Portland.
All right. Do you want me to do my number one or five? How are we doing this?
You can pick.
Okay, my order isn't that. Portland. Going along those lines.
I have Portland on my list, too. Go ahead.
And we're going interesting.
Yeah.
Like,
not fun to watch. Not, I love this team. Interested in watching them.
They've got human trade exceptions in Hassan Whiteside and Kent Bazemore that I think makes them interesting going into the season. Like, Hassan Whiteside, I know he's not like some sort of dynamic piece, but don't you think that is something that lines up for a Kevin Love trade?
That's where I was going to ask you, because Kevin Love has been on the trade market every summer, starting in 2016. His name has come up in trade rumors every single summer, and he's still in Cleveland.
Even before that, in Minnesota.
How often was he in trade rumors before he actually got traded here?
Well, he did this whole thing with Woj where he was like, well, what even are we doing here? And this, he's just been like in the, he hasn't looked like he's long for where he's going to be for even beyond that. I mean,
and Cleveland, it's through no fault of his own.
No. Cleveland just stinks.
Yeah, well, and even when they were good, he was still in trade rumors.
Yeah.
Like, he was in trade rumors the summer after they won the title, the year after they lost in five. Last summer, he was in trade rumors. The only summer he hasn't been in trade rumors was 2015 because he was a free agent and re-signed in Cleveland. That's the only one I can think of.
We were talking about how good, you know, why it's a good fit for Tolliver, because, you know, they're going to be trapping Dame and CJ in the pick and roll, and then it's like a spot-up guy.
Yeah.
I mean, that spot up stretch four. I mean, Kevin Love might be the best at that offensive role in the entire NBA.
And he'd give you a lot in terms of rebounding, which that team's going to be searching for, I think, a little bit.
With Nurkic out at the beginning.
And we don't know when he's going to play again.
Right. It's interesting. It just seems like they're, one way or the other, trade or not, they're like shifting into like a bigger team where they were.
Despite having a tiny backcourt.
But before it was like, okay, super small with Dame and CJ at the guards. And then you had like Aminu as like your four, who's not very big, and like Harkless or Lehman or whatever. It was just, it was, and now it's, I mean, who knows what Nurkic is going to be back exactly. But you got Whiteside and Nurkic. And then you talk about bringing in a Kevin Love or something. I think they're going to be a very different team. And I think it's interesting because I'm not sure it's going to work, but you move the pieces around in the right way and it really could, and it feels like they kind of have to. Like, I guess I know Dame just re-signed up big time for the future, but
yeah, he's not going anywhere anytime soon.
It's not a big window for them, but this kind of feels like the window.
It feels like this is the time they have to go for it, because they've been They made the Western Conference Finals this year, got swept. The year before that, they got swept in the first round. And the year before that, they had gotten swept.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the infamous just don't say anything to you in a playoff game. CJ McCollum on Twitter, and he's trying, Jennifer.
I think in that kind of mass at the top of the West, it's interesting because you could see Portland up there in the, what we were just talking about, the Golden State, Utah, Portland range. And I think they can be in that conversation, but it's like things don't go well. Start sliding down. It's going to be like the 2 years ago where the Wolves were like the 3 seed, and then all of a sudden something goes wrong and they're the 8 seed.
Mm-hmm.
Like that could happen to Portland too.
Yeah.
Just because the West is so top heavy.
I do think that Portland's one of probably 7 teams that can look themselves in the mirror and say, we're winning the West, and like truly believe it. Now, every team's going to say that. Like the Phoenix Suns are going to say that. We're all just going to laugh.
Oh, Phoenix.
Yeah. But it's, they could get there. Like that, and I don't think they're favorites.
Will, yeah.
But it's not crazy to think that it happens. It's not nuts.
No, and it just requires a couple things coming together. Nurkic coming back, being 100%, and making a move for a Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Somebody like that.
Because if that happens, they're scary good.
I mean, if Nurkic is who he, I mean, Nurkic was so good last year.
Yeah.
And then Dame and CJ, and if you got Kevin Love, like that's a squad. In a weak Western Conference, not a weak Western Conference, but like
an open Western Conference.
Yeah, with the ceiling being a little lower.
Yeah, because that's kind of what it's turned into.
Right. Who you got?
All right, we have talked about most of my teams. I've got New Orleans. I would like to talk about them a little more because what do you think that the ceiling for these guys are? They're young. How many games could we see them winning? What do we think that they could turn into this year and in the future?
Okay, well, I think their range is the Timberwolves. Are the Pelicans going to win more games than the Timberwolves?
I would say yes. As of right now, I would say yes right now. I don't think it's a huge disparity, but I would pick the Pelicans.
I think Memphis is going to be the worst team in the West.
Correct.
Phoenix will also be bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sacramento will also be down there. And then you have the Timberwolves and the Pelicans.
I would put Sacramento at the very least in the same category as the Timberwolves and the Pelicans. I don't see them taking a step back.
Okay.
And I don't necessarily see the Wolves and the Pelicans taking that big of a step forward.
Well, it wouldn't really be a step forward because we're talking about the 15th, 14th, 12th, like the 13th seed.
But like I'm talking about in number of wins. Like I don't see the Kings dropping to 13 from where they were.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they were 9 last year. I don't see all those the teams that were worse than them, Dallas.
Dallas is on my list. They're interesting.
LA is going to be better than this. I don't know. There's a lot of teams that were worse than Sacramento last year.
I'm not sure that Sacramento's. I don't think the Wolves are better than Sacramento right now. I don't think so.
Sacramento's been more aggressive thus far. Yeah, they're in that bubble. But I think that just speaks to where the Pelicans are. Where I don't know. It's like 11, 12, 13.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't necessarily think, I wouldn't be stunned if they made the playoffs. Like, I wouldn't be shocked. There have been crazier things that have happened.
I just don't know how you can put 7 teams below them.
It's tough to. It's tough to, but it's crazier things have happened. I like their young core a lot.
Yeah. But then you're putting them over like Dallas, who seems to be like more in the process of it.
Let's talk Dallas because what Porzingis is going to be coming off his knee injury is the biggest question mark they have. I love Luka Doncic. I think that I've not been shy about what I think he's going to be. I think he can win an MVP in this league. Like I think he's that good. I don't know how good they can be right now, and I'm fascinated to find out.
Yeah. Yeah, they could. I mean, if Kristaps is. And I assume, I mean, I never roll with the idea that a guy is going to remain hurt. Like, I think it's the same thing with Embiid, where we just assumed he was going to, it's never going to get better. Like, it's and more often than not, particularly with a young guy, it does. They don't completely fall off the mat. Like, Porzingis, I think, is going to be really good. And I think Luka's going to be a great fit for him. And I think they have insulating pieces there around him, and even Hardaway can be solid. I mean, he's overpaid, but he's solid. Dwight Powell was good for them last year. They brought back Kleba, Seth Curry.
I like the Seth Curry signing.
They got a group, a solid group of guys, and then you get like 5 wins for Rick Carlisle being your coach.
Yeah, that's true.
I just think it's a good team. I might not be a playoff team.
No.
Because
the West.
And if people are thinking that we're like, if you're like, oh no, the Pelicans are, or Dallas is, like, put your list together. Tell me who the 7 teams are. the seven teams that fall below them are. And it's going to be, I mean, you're going to have to start arguing like Portland or mm-hmm. something like that. It is so, so deep in the West right now. I wish we would have put like actually ranked it all out because it's hard to do on the spot. There's only two for sure bad teams, like bad teams in the West. And it's Phoenix and Memphis.
Correct. I'm totally with you. I mean, Memphis is not trying to be good, and Phoenix has.
Phoenix is trying to be good, but can't be.
They have no plan. They stink. I don't get it.
They're terrible.
Although their starting five's like not awful.
So what would it be? Rubio, Booker,
Ayton, Šarić, and Oubre, because he's restricted, and it seems like they'll match.
I don't know. That's
well, no one really has money to make an offer sheet that's crazy for him. So
the Wolves do.
No, they don't.
Like the mid-level.
They're not. I think they'd match the mid-level.
I think they would too.
He would need more than the mid-level, and the Wolves are not moving mountains to make that happen for Kelly Oubre.
Yeah, and like Tyler Johnson. I don't know. They've got brought in Kaminsky. Like that team stinks. They stink. That's the 14 seed.
Oh, I just think their starting lineup's not terrible. I'm not disagreeing with you. They stink, but their starting lineup's not awful. They have no one else, but their starting lineup's okay. We're going to continue talking about our most interesting teams, and when we come back, we're also going to get into our three least favorite signings of the NBA offseason so far. This is Raised by Wolves on Score North. It is Raised by Wolves on the all-new ScoreNorth.com. ScoreNorth mobile app available on Apple and Android. 1500 a.m. here in the Twin Cities. I'm Danny Cunningham along with Dane Moore taking you up until 3 o'clock here on this 4th of July holiday. Talking about some of the most interesting things that have happened across the NBA over the past week with the free agency period opening last Sunday at 5:01 Central Time. All right, Dane, you're up. Give me a team you're interested in.
The Los Angeles Clippers with or without Kawhi. I think are interesting. I think you can. I mean, they're ready to go. If you bring in Kawhi, that's a team that's a contender immediately. Yes. They just have a team that's put in place that there's already a team there. You don't need the stud superstar to be able to be a solid squad. They were last year, and they even if they don't get Kawhi, they can go out and get a Danny Green. I think that's the reason he hasn't signed anywhere yet. They can bring back JaMychal Green.
I think if Kawhi stays in Toronto, I think Danny Green's staying in Toronto too.
I do too. I think he's just one of those guys who's kind of waiting on that domino to fall. But they have money. Like they have money one way or the other to bring in more pieces. So they're either going to be a good group of role players with one superstar, or they're just going to be a really good group of role players.
Yeah.
And I think because as we've talked about, the West is so loaded, you know, without Kawhi, it's nothing special. They're going to be 7-8 seed or something like that again. But it's a team that's moving in the right direction. And they're fun to watch to me. And that's interesting. I mean, I think Doc Rivers has done a great job of coaching them in a modern sort of way that maximizes role players. And I'd be interested to see where that can go with a whole nother year of that. I think it could go up. And if you have Kawhi,
Changes things. It changes things if you have Kawhi, because he's a guy that you can look at right now and say he's the best basketball player in the world, and you're not telling a lie. So it changes them from a team that, like you said, is that maybe like their ceiling without Kawhi is maybe the sixth seed. Right. If they overachieve, they can get up to number six. If they've got Kawhi, they can be the best team in basketball. So it drastically changes things.
Which is interesting, you know, and they've put together a team it's not the end of the world if Kawhi doesn't come.
No, it's not. To an extent, it's everything that they've been building up for. Sure. Like over the past 18 months, they've been waiting for this decision.
It's out of your control. You know, so all you can do is put it in place. And the only real money they have on the books, like beyond this year, is Beverly, who we talked about $13 million. That's a fine contract. Magruder for $5 million. And then Lou Williams is making $8 million. Like that's just
nothing.
That's just nothing. I mean, you're a team that's lean enough to be able to be someone who could just absorb a different star in some sort of trade or a really good player in some capacity. They're ready.
And they just absorbed Harkless to get a first round pick to make the Jimmy Butler trade work.
I mean, having cap space is just such an asset.
Yeah.
In today's world. I mean, think about it. I mean, that's why the Hawks are going to be back relevant soon. I mean, that's why Memphis is trying to do.
And hitting on your draft picks is a big deal, too. Like, you have to do that or you won't be relevant. You can't be the Phoenix Suns.
Or you'll be the Knicks. like where you, or you don't, if you, I'm saying if you don't do this strategy and you just try and bring in a bunch of Bobby Portises and you're rolling it back over and over again. And that's, I don't know what that gets you.
They don't understand how to manage a basketball team there, do they?
Well, I mean, it's weird because it's like a new front office. So it's been like a little bit more competent,
but not much.
Yeah. But so what, I don't know. I guess they probably just have some mandate to compete, right? They just must have to, because why wouldn't you just do what the Clippers did? Like, why wouldn't you? What makes you say you're going to be good?
I think doing what the Clippers do is hard.
Sure.
Like, in terms of how they develop talent and how they got the most out of their guys. And they've got a better coach in L.A. than they do in New York. Like, I think Doc Rivers is one of the five best coaches in basketball. And David Fizdale in New York with the Knicks is a solid coach, but he's not one of the five best ones.
He's hard to read. How do you, like?
I think he's okay. I don't think he's a bad coach.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just hard to assess coaches.
But he's no Doc Rivers.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking at New York now. Like, I guess they spent a lot this summer, but they are pretty lean for the future. Like, almost all those deals have team options in the second year. Tajus is a team option. Reggie Bullock, Bobby Portis. Like, they got paid, but New York could have space again in the future. So, it's just, they still stink, but they're not incompetent in the way they were when they had Phil Jackson.
They're just going to chase Giannis now. They're just kicking it down to the next star. That's what it is. They're just kicking the can down the street until the next star comes along.
And which
the next,
I guess that's Giannis. What the Clippers is doing too.
Yeah. But the Clippers seem to have a better plan.
Well, they got better players too.
Yeah. They seem to know what they're doing more. But the Knicks just have all these pipe dreams that never seem to come true. It's got to be really painful for them to see these stars come to New York and play with the other guy.
I know.
Like, the franchise that always has just been the stepchild of New York got the stars, and they didn't. That's funny.
It is. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I don't, like, hate those New York players. They need a star. So maybe that's what they're doing.
I think if we would have gone into this season without expectations of them getting Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving or both of them or Kawhi Leonard or all of that, our view might be a little bit different of the offseason that they had if the expectations weren't so high. Yeah. It's like, he's a nice player. Oh, that's not a bad contract. But it's like, you were supposed to get Kevin Durant and you got Julius Randle, who's a fine player. But
it's the Wolves thing. It's the Wolves thing, too, right? Like, they can make all these, like, kind of good signings on the margins. But for the fan base at large, they're going to be like, you didn't get D'Angelo Russell. So we're not going to like it no matter what. And we're still capped out. Like, it's tough. Expectations is a funny thing to manage when you're a front office executive of, like, well, what do you want me to do? Like, you just want me to get stars, period? Like, that's hard to do. You just want me to get the best players possible? Like, no, to build a franchise, I got to do some of this, like, boring stuff.
Yeah.
And it's out of your control. You got to get a guy to sign there. Like, D'Angelo Russell, they didn't mess anything up in the D'Angelo Russell process. He chose. Mm-hmm. He chose Golden State. And the Knicks, like, KD chose Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know, so it's...
At least what I will say for the Wolves is it was complicated to make everything work. The Knicks had all this money. They traded away their franchise star to make this happen.
Yeah, and maybe that's that they did it too early.
Yeah, that's part of the thing with expectations. If you're trading away Kristaps Porzingis, who is going to be a restricted free agent, but under team control, and you are the ones that make the decision whether or not he walks out the door, and you send him away in, what was it, February they made the trade? I don't remember if February or January. You better win something in free agency. You better be the winners of July. And they weren't. That's part of it, too, is the Wolves didn't trade away a franchise star to create cap space and then strike out on D'Angelo Russell. They just couldn't get the D'Angelo Russell thing done.
And now, it's just contingency plan from there.
Yes.
Contingency plans, I think, are hard to make look good.
I agree with you, but it's harder when you have higher expectations. And let's be honest. Expectations to get Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are drastically different than D'Angelo Russell. Like, they're like three tiers away from each other.
Not judging by my Twitter mentions.
If you cover the Knicks, I promise you your Twitter mentions would be worse, Dana.
That's true. That's true.
That's what it would be. If you cover the New York Knicks, what you have now.
Reggie Bullock?
Yes. What you have now, Payton? Multiply by 100, because that would be the situation in New York.
Hey, the Wolves fans are back engaged, though.
They are engaged.
They're mad.
Not happy.
They're mad.
They're not happy, but they're engaged.
I've been saying they've always been lurking. They're there. If you put a team here, there will be Wolves fans who care about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basketball, hockey, whatever here. Like, basketball.
I think the hockey thing's overrated. As a transplant here, like, I don't think people care about hockey as much as it's assumed they do.
Well, it's just a smaller sport. You know, and there's a lot of...
this is the state of hockey, allegedly.
Yeah. I think it's... I mean, people are engaged. There's like... It's a different type of fan base from what I can gather. Is like, there's dedicated... There's a dedicated pool of Wild fans.
Sure.
And hockey fans here, but I think there's this like untapped market of basketball fans who've just been like, well, the Wolves have been pretty much incompetent for like two decades. But I mean, you think about like the state basketball tournament here and how many good people grew up playing basketball here. Like you're like, oh, look at how many NHL players are from Minnesota. It's like, there's a lot of maybe not NBA caliber people here, but there's a lot. I mean, Minnesota has such a big basketball, like basketball people. They're not, they need to, what the Timberwolves need to do is to tap into those basketball people and convince them to be Timberwolves fans.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, I just know like from talking to my friends who are basketball people, they just kind of think the Wolves are a joke. But I know if you got D'Angelo Russell, or if you go and get somebody else to put next to Cat in the future and the Wolves are in the playoffs, like, they'll be at a bar watching a game.
Well, and part of it is now it's easier than ever to be a fan of a team that you're not geographically attached to.
That's true.
Like easier than ever because we've got NBA League Pass, because right. we've got games nationally televised X number of days a week, because you can find a way. If you want to be a LeBron fan, he's playing in Cleveland, LA, or Miami. You can watch it. It doesn't matter that you live in Minnesota. And
it's the best game.
Yeah. And it's the best product.
Okay. We gotta get through the rest of our teams.
Yes.
Who do you got?
We have talked about all of my teams because my list was
okay.
Philly, Dallas, Golden State, Portland, New Orleans.
Okay, I had Golden State too. We talked about them extensively. The one that we haven't talked about is Chicago.
Okay.
And I think that's kind of interesting from a Minnesota angle. Like people here are tied to Zach LaVine. And in that realm, I think the Bulls did a lot to embrace Zach LaVine. Who I know he's not a superstar or anything, but he needs a real point guard, and getting Satoransky, I think that's going to help a lot. Like that's going to work. I can see the dynamic between the two of them working. I think Otto Porter was a really good acquisition in the middle of last season. He's another one of those classic guys who you look at his contract and it's like, oh my God, so much. We think he stinks. Well, no, he might not be worth 28.
He's overpaid, but he's still good.
Yeah. It's like, if he was a free agent, he'd get paid a lot. Look at Julius Randle just got $21 million. Like, he's good. And then you get a Thad Young, who's interesting. And Markkanen, I think if you put Markkanen in a competent system with some real adult pieces around him, I think he has star potential. Yeah. I think he can be an all-star, like, soon.
Yeah, I think that they're trending in the right direction. And I like
Cody. Which is interesting, because I don't expect that from Chicago.
No. Well, not with that front office.
Right.
Why would you? There's no reason to.
It's, yeah, and I mean, like, Coby White. I don't know. I'm lukewarm on him, but it's another point. I feel like that works well with Satoransky and Coby White. Like that makes sense to me.
I think Coby White could project to be more of a two in the NBA than a point guard.
And Satoransky can. It's like, yeah, I don't know. You need guys who can like be the point, run the offense in a sort of way. Sure. But I think they're going to try and have that be a lot of different people. And it could be LaVine at times too.
And this is trending towards that positionless basketball that we talked about earlier in the show.
You want to have a lot of different point of attack creators.
Yeah.
And I think it'd even be cool to like see what you can do with Markkanen there. You can, why can't you set him a screen, you know, and work off of that. Like they're going to be a more interesting team when they have been in Zach LaVine's time there have been such a joke. And you know, as somebody who, you know, liked watching Zach LaVine develop here and think he's a really interesting player, offensively, at least, like I think that team's gonna be not good, but like
interesting,
trending in the right direction.
Yeah, they could finish like 11th in the East, maybe.
God, the East is so much worse.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the top is really ridiculous, good, really good in the East, but the bottom's really bad. All right,
yeah.
Up next, our least favorite signings of the free agency period. This is what I've been excited for the entire show. I can't wait to get to it. It's Raised by Wolves on Score North.
Jonathan here with the Score North download. Before we get back to the boys on Raised by Wolves, I want to tell you about something else we're doing on Score North. It's called the Minnesota Sports Rewind. We go back, Score North personalities go back in time and do deep dives into some of the most prominent moments in Minnesota sports history. Some of those podcasts right now include Twins and Tigers Game 163, a look at Twins and A's from the 2002 ALDS. Couple basketball episodes in Minnesota Sports Rewind right now. Kevin Love's 30-30 game and a look at Kevin Garnett's dominating Game 7 against Sacramento. Again, it's called the Minnesota Sports Rewind on ScoreNorth.com, Apple, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts. That's been your Score North download for this hour. Now, back to Raised by Wolves.
Raised by Wolves, Danny Cunningham, Dane Moore, taking you up until 3 o'clock on this 4th of July holiday. Up now, we've got our least favorite signings or our most boneheaded moves made by teams in this NBA free agency period that started last Sunday at 6:01 Eastern time. It's been interesting. There's been some really bad contracts handed out, and Dane, I'm all the way here to talk about them.
You go first.
Me first? Okay, are we starting with... What is Orlando doing signing Al Farouq Aminu? Like, I feel like they have a million wings. I don't know what their plan is. I don't get that one. No, not at all.
Why? He's good.
He's okay.
He's better than their other ones, and he's not that old.
I think that they have had a glut of wings. I don't like that signing for them.
Okay, so the reason it's not wouldn't be a good signing is because you're like, well, let's develop out and like try and see what we can get out of Isaac and those other guys.
They're going to be a really expensive like 7 or 8 seed for the next 5 years.
Okay, he's in the way some, but I think right now he's better than they are. I think the flaw is that they're trying to be good right now.
Yeah,
and
they shouldn't have given that contract to him.
Okay,
I don't understand why you needed to go out and sign. I'm not saying he's a bad player. Like, I don't necessarily think the guys on my list are bad players. This just doesn't make sense.
See, my thing is, though, is like, if the Wolves signed him for $330, if they would have used their FOMA level, I would have liked that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't
because
think it's a
he's
bad
not a
price.
Bad player.
Yeah, I get, okay. Yeah, well, like, mine's kind of similar. It's also Orlando, but it was Nikola Vucevic.
Okay.
And I remember last year when Jusuf Nurkić signed for $448, so mm-hmm. it was $12 million a year. And it was like labeled by almost everyone as like one of the worst signings because the same thing. It's like long term. It's like, oh, we don't even need centers in the NBA anymore. Like, da, da, da. I was like, okay, Jusuf Nurkić is like a good player, though. Like, it'll be fine. And
of
not,
course.
And I think that was proved correct. But that's for $12 million. You literally double. I mean, it's more than doubled. This is $4,100 for Nikola Vucevic. And you're just committing to, I don't know, I think. Not an elite center at that price. And it's really difficult to build your team. And we know this in Minnesota. It's difficult to build your team when your center is making a third of the cap.
Yeah.
Or 25% of the cap, whatever. Like, there's obviously Kat's worth it. And I'm not saying like Vucevic isn't. It's hard to commit that much to the center position and be able to effectively round out your wings in a league that's the wings seem really important today, and having a dynamic creator at point guard. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't have hated if Orlando would have just not brought him back. I would have just done a lot of things to be like, we're going to take a step back and see where we can be 2 years from now. This just screams to like, let's be the 8th seed again.
They're going
to
be a really expensive 7 or 8 seed for the next 3 or 4 years.
I don't even know if they'll make the playoffs every year.
But if they do, that's what it's going to be. They're not going to be cheap. It's okay if you miss the playoffs if you're cheap. It's not if you're expensive. And they could miss the playoffs.
I guess for both of us, though, those are like kind of the market we expected for those guys.
Yeah.
But in Orlando, it doesn't make
sense.
It's
a terrible fit for me.
Okay.
Like, I don't get why they did that. They didn't need to do that. I'm not saying that Al Farouq Aminu is not a good player. I think he's a fine player. I just don't think that Orlando needed to make that move.
Sure.
All right. So number two for me is Ricky Rubio, 351 in Phoenix. That doesn't look terrible right now, but you brought this up earlier, and it's a really good point. When Devin Booker's unhappy and they're trying to bring someone in and they can't, I think Ricky Rubio's contract could be a reason why.
Yeah, I think Ricky's a fine player. He's just...
He's not a $17 million a year player.
It would just be like more palatable if it was on a team who you're like... Even Indiana, who he was being like rumored to. It's like, okay, well, we know they're going to be like competing for a 4, 5, 6 seed for those 3 years. That would just make more sense to me. But to commit to a guy who, he's not that old, but he's 28. So you go 28, 29, 30. Like, it doesn't fit their timeline. Nope. And the price tag was a shocker to me too. So I also had him on my list as at third.
Okay.
But yeah, and I don't know. You weren't here to, Rubio's got is the weirdest, you know,
I don't
dynamic
have the,
with the fan base.
I don't have the affection for Ricky Rubio that a lot of people in Minnesota seem to have.
Yeah. I mean, he was just fun. He was fun, and it was like it was such a bad time in Minnesota sport in Timberwolves for the Timberwolves, and he was just like something that was always enjoyable enough so that you like distracted yourself from the issues.
From how bad it actually was.
The jump shot, and yeah, like anything he did really terribly or a bad game he had, where you could just be like, well, Wes Johnson or like Derek Williams, something like that, and so I think, and he was a very like affable person that people, you know, connected to in that way. And that doesn't make you worth $17 million a year, But you talk about analytically, which I think he's always been a little bit overrated in that way, but it's good. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's been one of those players whose team performs better when he's on the floor. That's why I hope to see more from him out of Utah. And like, okay, finally, you're on kind of like a contender. Like, let's do it, Ricky.
Sure.
And now he's back on the 2013 Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, best case.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
They're going to be bad. And it's just, it's funny how many of these former Wolves, and we were talking about Zach LaVine before, have so little of their career be on relevant teams and getting playoff minutes. So few.
I mean, what former Wolves can you think of other than Kevin Love that have experienced that?
Luka Bamute.
And he got hurt.
Nobody.
And he got hurt.
Okay, what is it? It's me now?
Yep.
This one's weird, and I don't know. Like, I think it would be fair to get pushback on, but it kind of... Jamal Murray getting 5-170.
Oh, I didn't even think about the extensions for him and Ben Simmons. That hadn't crossed my mind, but I don't disagree with you. Like, I don't think Jamal Murray was a 6:01 Eastern time max extension offer guy.
It's hard because you're like, well, we're going to bring him back next year. Like, probably... we've gotten to this point with some of these rookie contract guys where they get to end of year three and we're like, man, it looks like they could be something.
Yeah.
It looks like they could be something. And then they are paid as if they will become that. And obviously Andrew Wiggins is the one here that you deal with the problems of. And I think, I mean, Murray has a far higher floor than what Andrew has performed at.
Sure.
But there, you know, I think there's some trepidations. If I was a Denver fan, you're kind of like, man, like, are we for sure like ready to go for the finals right now? Like, I don't, people putting them in to be a real contender. And I just, even in a lighter West at the top, I don't see them like being in the NBA finals. And what's going to really change in the future? It's going to be the same core of like Jokic, Harris, and Murray.
I will say, if Michael Porter Jr. can be what a lot of people thought he was going to be, it changes everything for them. They become that team from, okay, I don't know that they're a real contender. They're going to win a lot of games. They're always going to be in the playoffs. They can win a series. They can maybe get to the conference finals, to this team can win it all. Like, he's that guy that they don't have the money in free agency to go out and get anymore.
But this is my thing, is now by doing this with Murray, which I get, you kind of had to, you are like cementing that your team needs that guy.
Yeah.
They need Michael Porter to be a star, or you need to go get another star in some capacity. And now you've really limited your resources to be able to do so. And when you have a star in Jokic, but not a best player in the league type player, You just need those insulating pieces to get everything you can out of Jokic. And it was great what they did last year. I get that. And I'd be pumped if I was a Nuggets fan.
Sure.
But then naturally I'm thinking, what's the next level?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, what's the next level? And it just, I wonder if this helps like cement a ceiling on them.
Well, and I think it would have been better for them to just wait a year. It's not like he was walking. It's not like he was going to be gone next year. And if you want, I realize the free agent class next year is not all that great. But if you wanted to bring someone else in, his cap hold was only like, what, $12 million next year? And that would have been a big thing to, got a little bit of money that we can play with. Instead, you don't have that.
Yeah, and I think we kind of sleep on the whole like notion of the personal element of that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we're really giving Murray a pat on the back, whether if we just say, hey, we're going to roll you over into free agency next year. And
yeah.
We're going to match, but it's just... To give Jamal Murray $170 million guaranteed, you're giving him a commitment,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, that goes a long way. But when your guy isn't like surefire worth that, it's the same thing. I mean, that's again, I bring up Wiggins, is what made you, was the difference that big to say we need to give him that pat on the back? Like, things could have been so different if you just would have waited a year.
Yep.
With Wiggins, because, and even then, if you still max him. Even if you do, which I don't think his market would have borne out in that way.
No.
But even if you do, it's 4 years that he's on the books at a lower rate, because you can't do the same raises. It would have just been, it would have been less. And you know, at some point you have a really good player and you start getting pinched.
Yep.
And that's where the Wolves are right now. And you get pinched so much that you're like, well, all we can really do is hope for a D'Angelo Russell Hail Mary.
Yep, exactly.
And I don't know. I don't like when teams do that.
All right. My number one, because we've got about a minute and 20 left in the show, is Terry Rozier.
Yeah.
3 years, $58 million. I don't know what Charlotte's doing. Charlotte's going to be really bad. Why are you paying a mediocre point guard that much money?
Yeah, how can the assumption be that he was what he was 2 years ago?
I don't know. I don't have a good answer here.
And they had to send up picks to get him too. He's gonna get the opportunity.
Yeah.
So let's see. He's never really gotten that opportunity for 82 games.
Correct.
We'll see what happens.
All right, 30 seconds. You have one more now.
Bogdanovich was on mine. I don't know. I got no other sexy ones. I had like the losing Walker and going with Rozier. It's like, man, Charlotte, what are you doing?
I don't know what they're doing. They're going to be terrible. They're going to be terrible and they're not going to be cheap. And that's an awful combination, but yeah.
Let's hope that the Wolves do something interesting in these last couple of days. They've got the mid-level left. You can bring in a piece, and I know it's not going to be the D'Angelo Russell offseason, but there's a way to still put this together where, you know, you kick the ball down the road a year, mm-hmm. and that's okay. That's the hand Rosas was dealt.
Yep, that is what it is. This has been Raised by Wolves. Dane Moore. I'm Danny Cunningham. We'll talk to you next week. Have a happy 4th of July.